You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Actually, once again, coming to you from the studios here of 91.5 FM WMIE. Recording this opening here for this program here for Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Friday to join me as we together study and sit under the authority of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. And that's what we set out to do. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of the living God that enables us to do what he says. Friday here, heading into the weekend, I invite you guys to church this weekend. We would love to see you. If you're new to the area or if you're looking for a new church home, I invite you to attend one of our services at Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet around 10:35 Sunday morning, Wednesday nights at 6. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians. I will be in chapter 4 this coming Wednesday, 6 to 7. Sunday morning, 10:35. Both of those services are on Facebook Live. If you live too far away or if you're unable to attend, Island Community Church is the Facebook page. Sermons are uploaded on our YouTube channel, same name as well. So, okay, this weekend, it'll be, my sermon is on this Mother's Day this weekend, how to be a godly mother in an ungodly world. That'll be my message here this weekend. I encourage you, bring a friend, stop by, worship the Lord. You know what to expect if you listen, if you enjoy this radio program. Here on the radios every day, we just started a week ago. We're going through up to where I am right now through the book of Hebrews. I just preached a chapter 5 this past week. We're in chapter 3 here now, God's rest. That's what we're going to look at here today. Yesterday, these last few days, we were in chapter 2. We started off with the intro. So that's what's going on at the church, a verse-by-verse study through the book of Hebrews, verse-by-verse study through 2 Corinthians on Wednesday night. This Mother's Day, how to be a godly mother in an ungodly world. And here we go now. This is part one of this message, God's rest.
Okay, I presume we're rolling on the video, right, Carol? Danny, are we rolling? Excellent. I'm a little loud. Let's see how that goes. Does everyone have one of these handouts? That is way too loud. I haven't even begun yet, and it's too loud. If anyone needs one of these, it's on the inside of the bulletin. We need one over here. Here, you can have mine. Don't tell anyone. Anyone else need one? Okay, let's get rolling. Now, we left off in verse 14 of chapter 2, but let's pray first before we get started, before we go any further. Lord God Almighty, we just can't pray enough. Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to preach the word, and I thank you, Lord, for this awesome church family here that every week sits in obediently, sits under your word to hear some words from you. And I know you won't disappoint. Your word is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces and divides soul and spirit, and of joints and bones and marrow, and as a discerner of my thoughts and even what I intend to do in my heart. Lord, we pray you would do all that and more here today, here in this church, to everyone watching on Facebook, to everyone that will watch on Facebook, to everyone that will watch the YouTube later, and to everyone that'll hear this on the radio. Do an awesome work in us and in our church family and friends. Help us to be doers of your word. Speak to us now through your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now we left off in verse 14 of chapter 2. We're in the book of Hebrews, for those just joining us. Many of the verses I have on the handout, if you don't have a Bible, if you need a Bible, talk to me after the service. I'll be glad to give you one. So as I was saying, we left off in verse 14 of chapter 2 in this powerful truth, a truth that the devil does not want you to know. So let's start there. He's verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, let's say that that means here, inasmuch then as the children have that the children have lived a human life, likewise, he lived a human life too. Okay, let me read it again now. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, so that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Wow, look at that. That through death, that is, someone had to die in order to accomplish this. Someone has to die in order for this to be accomplished here. The will of God, through his death, the Lord Jesus might destroy the devil and destroy the one who had the power of death. You see, something bad happened to the devil when Jesus died. We only catch a glimpse of it here. You see, something really bad happened to this devil. He lost it all. He lost it all at the death of Jesus Christ. He lost it all. We only see some of it. Satan's great power over you all now, if you let him, is that he deceives you. He's all bark and growl and no bite. He is defanged, like the abominable snowman on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And he probably bounces too when you knock him off. The bumbles bounce, you know. He's got no teeth at all. His power is in deceiving you. Look at what happened to him at his death. Through his death, Jesus might destroy the one who had the power of death. And you see, keep reading, the next word is the word and, meaning he's not done yet. Look at the and there. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Meaning, there's no need to fear death any longer. There's no need to fear death any longer. Jesus has conquered death. Look at how this works. Look at all the people out here today who have never received the promise of this verse. First up, cryogenics. These are those like Walt Disney and the great baseball player Ted Williams. You know, isn't that funny how they're both atheists? At least they were. These are those who have had their decapitated bodies frozen until some other atheist can figure out how to bring them back to life like Dr. Frankenstein and heal them. Which, by the way, that is what they do to you. They cut your head off. Haven't you ever heard the story about the one guy that got busted playing golf with one of these guys' heads? He had a head on a tuna fish can and he had a 9-iron and he's out there playing golf. That's what they do to you, you see. But this is this verse in action. Because you fear death, you see, and you're willing to do anything, just like Satan says, skin for skin. All that a man has, or a woman, they will give in exchange for their life, and that includes getting your bodies frozen like this. How about this one? Extravagant medical procedures to prolong your life when you're as old as Moses already. I'll never forget, as long as I live, the day that Darren and I went to the hospital to visit a 90-year-old Ron Howard, dying, but at great peace. Then his doctor walked in while me and Darren were in there, and his doctor told him, well, you see, we can do this and we can do that. We can operate here. We can do a little procedure over there, and we can stick this probe in you, you see. And we can help you live longer. I mean, that's everyone's dream, right? Live a little longer. I'll never forget what Ron Howard's response was to him. He said, and I quote, nope, we'll have none of that. Unquote. Now that's what I'm talking about. There's no more fear hanging over you regarding you dying. You are not in bondage regarding death and the fear of it anymore, because Jesus Christ has conquered that. That's why we read in John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, it's the knowledge of the truth is what sets us free. There is no longer, we should no longer fear these things. Now here's the truth. Here's a few Bible verses on your handout regarding do not fear death. We just looked at one. Through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. So Satan's power is destroyed. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, yes, we're well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Number three, Jesus said on the cross, he said, tomorrow you will be... He said, today you will be with me in paradise. See, this is a promise for you guys, for the Christian. Number four, Philippians 1:21. The Apostle Paul says to die is gain. You're not losing anything, you're gaining. I mean, who would you rather inherit from? Your Aunt Mimi's teapot collection or Jehovah? Only you can answer that. Or number five, John 11:25. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he might die, yet he shall live. That's what I'm talking about. Look, from now on, there's no reason to fear death or dying, because by his own death and resurrection, Jesus Christ has destroyed the power of death. Now that's good news. But these headless horsemen out here will continue to try to prolong their lives in order to put off the inevitable. But when you know where you are going, when you leave this world, you have peace. You can laugh at the doctor who expects you to sell your soul to the devil like everyone else out here does in the world. 100 years old and getting chemotherapy. Really? At 100? Lest we lose track of what's waiting us on the other side. Let me read this verse here out of the NIV, verse 16. We'll move on from there. I just want to make sure we got our priorities right, okay? To leave this world and depart and be with Jesus Christ is far better, lest we lose track of this. It's far better than anything that this world has to offer. I would seriously consider at 62 years old what I would do to prolong my life. But that's just me. That's just everyone's, you know, everyone's different. All right, verse 16. I need to read it out of the NIV. This is one of the most difficult verses to understand, really to translate in all the Bible. So, out of the NIV, it reads like this. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but Abraham's descendants. All right, now whether or not he means the Jewish race or spiritual sons of Abraham, everyone who has faith, no one knows who he was talking to. But the point is, Jesus helps us, all believers, and not angels. Angels don't need his help. Angels don't need help to pay rent. Angels don't need help to persevere. Angels don't need to be healed. Angels don't need to be delivered. We're the ones that need those things. And the author is saying, he didn't come here to help angels. He came here to help you. That's good news with whatever it is that you're going through. Jesus Christ took on flesh. God took a body to come here to earth to help you with all of your troubles. Everything that you're going through. Angels don't need it. Again, why he's writing this is that he's proven to these guys, Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He's going to write in a minute, he's better than Moses. Now here's the last three verses here from the NIV. Verse 16 again. Surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, that is, because he's determined to help you. That's what he means. For this reason, he had to be made like them, or you, fully human in every way, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So praise God, Jesus can relate. He can relate to your trials. He can relate to your sufferings. He can relate when you're tempted. Because though he didn't sin, he was tempted too. He can relate to these things, just like you. And the text says, he is able to aid those, that means come in alongside of, to help you when you too are tempted. Which is why Jesus' favorite name for himself is the Son of Man. Because Jesus can relate. He is a Son of Man, a human being, just like us, just like you. And he understands everything that you're going through. Peter wrote, casting all of your, now instead of cares, that word should be anxieties. Casting all your anxieties upon him. Because he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. Sounds good to me. How about you? Let me give to you, Lord, all of my anxieties. Look, you've got two choices to do with your anxieties. Number one, you can bury your anxieties with medicine, or you can give them all to him. Those are your only two ways, you know, sometimes to cope with this evil world. Let me read this verse to you. Okay, answer the question, well, how do I do that? How do I cast my anxieties upon him? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Let me read it to you. I don't think it's on the handout. Let me read it to you. He says, be anxious for some things. Be anxious for nothing. But my rent is due next week and I lost my job. Be anxious for nothing. God's got a plan. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, that is, instead of being anxious, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that is, God, you haven't let me down yet. You haven't let me down yet, Lord. Prayer supplication. Lord God, I petition you. I ask for your help. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. My anxiety level is through the charts and through the roof. God, I need your help. I want to do what you did on the cross. I refuse this sour wine. God, help me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Lay it all out. And the peace of God, which Pastor Paul could never explain to you, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's how you do that. That's how you do that. All right, now let's move on here to chapter 3 this morning with the subject heading in my Bible, The Son Was Faithful. Remember, as we go through this, the writer is proving to these Jewish believers that Jesus is the real deal. He's better than angels. He's destroyed the power of death. He destroyed the power of the devil, our enemy. The writer showed them that God the Father called Jesus God. Remember that? Chapter 1, verse 8. He's not some alternative. He is God. God the Son. Now he's going to build on that and show to them that Jesus himself is the new high priest and apostle. He's going to use the word apostle. Apostle is one of the most common words in the Greek language. It means one who is sent. So he's the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So again, verse 1, he says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. I like that, consider. That is, think about Jesus for a while. Ponder him. I mean, out of 168 hours in the week, let's just take a couple minutes here today and let's stop what we're doing and let's ponder the man in the glory here this morning. Certainly he's worthy of 30 minutes of our time, isn't he? Let's ponder him. He's the apostle. That is, he is the one sent by God, is what the word means. It's as common as the word Smith or Jones are in names, is the word apostle in a Koine Greek. It's not just a position in the church. Someone that's sent by somebody. Someone that's sent by a ruler or a leader. He's the apostle. And it says he is the high priest. Remember, the high priest was the man anointed by God to make sacrifices for the sins of the people. That's what the high priest did. Sorry to say, but the lifeblood is required for the remission of sins. When we get to chapter 9, we'll read that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22. See, someone must die. Someone must die to pay the price. Now, I don't make the rules. I just fall in line. God requires life blood to atone for sins. He's God. He can require what he wants. I just fall in line. Now, back in the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve sinned, we read this in Genesis 3:21. It says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. See, this is animal skins, not banana peels. See, when they clothed themselves, you know what they put on themselves? A couple of fig leaves. But when God made atonement for them, you see, now they're clothed in animal skins. You see, someone had to die. Not only that, an innocent bystander had to die. Now back again from the top. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, ponder, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. Catch the capital H there for his. Talking about God's house, not his own. All right, so now he's going to bring their all-time hero into this teaching, Moses, the undisputed heavyweight champ of the world, Moses. For this one, speaking of Christ, a capital O for one, for this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Gasp! Remember who he's writing to. See, all those that don't have ears to hear, he just done lost them. They are heading for the exit sign now. He called Jesus better than Moses? For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. I'm in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3. Inasmuch as he who built the house is more honor than the house, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his, capital H, in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confession and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Oh, no. Here we go again with this word, hold fast. We can't get around this phrase, can we? Every week it pops up. Notice you're part of his house. Notice you're being a part of his house is conditional. It's conditional on you holding something. I'm just the preacher. I didn't say it. Something is required of you. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, by which you receive, by which you stand, by which you're saved, if you hold fast the word that I preach to you, unless you believed in vain, or unless you just wasted your time around here. If you don't believe anymore Jesus Christ is Lord, then you're wasting your time. Hold fast.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.